All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you guys for being here. Hey, I've got to point out an obvious fact before we get started. Is that all right? Everybody look this way. Y'all know my man. What's up, Marcus? Y'all know my man Charlie Vifquin over here. You can hardly miss him, right? Kentucky gets blown out by Alabama. We don't see him at all. And then they win yesterday, and now all of a sudden he's back. He's got his Kentucky stuff on like he likes it, like it's basketball season or something. That's good stuff. Hey, thank y'all for being here. Let's pray and get started here this morning, all right? Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the beautiful people that's gathered to be here this morning. The most beautiful at all, Jesus, we know that you are with us this morning. Your spirit is here. It's evident just in conversation and fellowship and just sharing a meal together. And so, Jesus, we just thank you for your provision, your continued just guidance of the church at Southside and what you called us here to do in this city. And so we just pray your blessings over today, blessing over the time that we share in the word briefly this morning, and that you just speak to hearts louder than any voice here this morning. We pray this a lot, but we say any voice of the enemy. I was talking with a brother this morning and said, you know, you can hear from the enemy as well. And that's so true. So we pray against that. We pray against hearing of any voice of accusation, shame, condemnation, curses that have been spoken, maybe even by those that should have had our back over our years, family, friends, those close to us. Father, we just pray against those voices, and that Holy Spirit, your voice would speak the loudest this morning. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, y'all lose every week, though. That's just normal now. That was an Auburn fan there, Jason. All right. So last week, if you were here, man, you got the pleasure of hearing Uncle Bill, as he's now referred to by a lot of people. I think I heard Joe walk up and call him Uncle Bill. So that was good to have him. And then some good barbecue, man. Hepzibah Baptist Church was here. And so, man, it was an awesome week. Bill talking about just being thankful in all circumstances, right? Being able to do that through Christ. So we took a break from the book of John. And so this week we'll pick back up in John, a beautiful story in John chapter 12 that I'm excited about. But to do that, just a quick recap, because it's been a few weeks since we've been in the Gospel of John, and just how things can get away from us. If you remember, we just came out of the story where Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Pretty amazing story, right? Charlie taught on that, did a wonderful job. Taught on the fact that this Jesus calls Lazarus out. And I think he even gave us a little King James there, said he stinketh, right? Like, that's so good. But comes out in the burial cloth, and this just amazing thing that had happened. And then I taught the week after telling you that following up to that, what should have been this grand celebration that Jesus has called someone from the grave and now they are alive. They were dead, but now they are alive. And calling them out, it should have been this grand celebration. But what we saw is the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and a high priest by the name of Caiaphas have a meeting, and here is what basically they said in all of these things. This man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And really what we have is it's not some thing like where they're worried about their nation as they say that they are. They're worried about Roman rule is at least what their words would tell you in some sense. But what they're really worried about is losing their position of power and influence, right? And they're in this meeting and they're saying, we've got to do something with this man. And then Caiaphas, he prophesies without even knowing it. He says, it's better that one man should die for the nation than the entire nation to die. That this one man would die. And truer words have never been spoken. That Jesus would die not only for the nation, but to bring all in to be children of God. And so we see this, but I want to remind you that as Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, that you have a sympathetic high priest. You have someone that knows every pain that you feel, everything that you're going through now or that you have gone through. He knows and feels your pain and is there with you, right? He's there yesterday, today, and he'll be there tomorrow. He is with you. He understands and knows your pains. He is a sympathetic high priest. We know this, that short verse in the Bible that we all have memorized, that Jesus wept, right? He knows your pain. And so when all of this happened, Jesus knows that this is amplifying his trip, his journey to the cross. He is not thrown off by this. In fact, I want to take you back a few weeks. He even tells us this by saying, I am the good shepherd. And listen to this, the good shepherd, no one takes his life, but the good shepherd willingly lays his life down for the sheep, right? Aren't you glad of that this morning? Amen. I'm telling you, he knows what's happening. He knows what's coming. He knows that these events are even amping up, that he is about to lay his life down for the sheep. And I'm so glad that this is what Jesus does. I'm going to read today's passage in John chapter 12. He's just raised Lazarus from the dead. He's not been able to walk openly. And this is what we see in John chapter 12, starting at verse 1. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? And he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. Jesus, we have heard this story, I'm sure some of us, just thousands of times, but we pray and trust that your word is God-breathed, living, and active. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak to our hearts fresh and new today on this passage. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So there is such beauty here, right? This is a beautiful story. If you really just see what's happening, you really just get into what's going on here, it is a picture of beauty like few told in all of Scripture. And so when we started in John, I do want to tell you this. Remember, we started with the idea, this big churchy word, that there are these things called the Synoptic Gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, right? And then you've got John that stands alone. It's kind of some of the same events, but this different perspective and just different tone. And here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see a portrayal just like this in all four Gospels. A pretty important story, right? Wouldn't you say if all four Gospels paint this picture of this anointing Jesus' feet, it's pretty beautiful and pretty special. Now, I will say Luke's account may be possibly a different event, but nonetheless, here in this gesture in John, we see a lady by the name of Mary. Lazarus' sister. We see another sister named Martha that are there, this family that is celebrating and just worshiping all that they've seen and heard about this man named Jesus, right? And so they are here, and in this, I want to tell you even what Mark's gospel says, and this is so true. 2,000 years ago plus, this event happened, and here's what Mark's gospel says about Mary anointing Jesus' feet. One other account says the same thing. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed. By the way, I want you to know, I believe the gospel is proclaimed in this parking lot. That's why we exist. It's not about spaghetti. It's not about clothes. It's not about just hanging out. The true heart of the matter is so that when you receive this, it is receiving of the Father's provision, speaking to your heart that He is inviting you into relationship. That is the gospel that we proclaim. Listen to me this morning. I want everybody to look this way. I'm ugly, deal with it. I don't care what you've done, what you're doing, or what you will do has no bearing on the fact that you can be called son or daughter of the King of Kings. That's the gospel. If you've heard anything else that you got to work, you got to clean yourself up or walk down some aisle and somehow magically make yourself better, and then maybe, listen to me, in the midst of your deepest, darkest sin, you can be son or daughter of the King of Kings. How about we walk in that identity today? Amen? That's proclamation of the true gospel. Anything else is religion, works, or just plain out lies. So the gospel is proclaimed here in this place. Here's what Mark's gospel says. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, in the mountains in India. I've been in the mountains of India and I've seen the gospel proclaimed. I've been to the jungles in Costa Rica. I've seen the gospel proclaimed. I've been a lot of places and got to see it. So have you. In the parking lot in Birmingham, Alabama is what he's saying. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done in this moment will be told. Isn't that a cool thing? Just a simple gesture of worship. And it's been told for 2,000 plus years, this beautiful picture of worship. A few things on John's account before we close today. 6 days, it says, before the Passover. Can I tell you about this Passover that's coming, though? It is the ultimate Passover. You remember the story of the Passover, right? In Exodus, go way back in the Old Testament to where when you put the blood on the doorpost and that the angel of death would pass over, right? That is the name, that it would pass over you. The ultimate Passover lamb is sitting at dinner with Lazarus and with Martha and with Mary. The Passover that is about to happen is that Jesus is about to, like the good shepherd said, willingly lay down his life. No one will take it from him. Don't be confused. Roman soldiers nailed him to a cross, but they did not take his life. He laid it down for you and I. And if his blood covers your heart, then you will be passed over as well. Amen. The ultimate Passover. And so they're there, and it's 6 days before this, and it starts the passage and says this, therefore he came to Bethany. I want you just to flash back and remember what's happened in Bethany. He's called a man, a friend by the name Lazarus, out of the grave. All right? He's called him out of the grave where he's walking in burial cloths, right? He smells all of these things, or that's what they're saying, is that he'll probably smell. And he calls him and says, Lazarus, come forth. Y'all, I want to tell you the miracle that's happened. Jesus has had to kind of take this different approach now because he knows the cross is coming. He knows it's not yet his time. And it even said he's not able to walk openly now. Remember, they had the celebration and it says, will Jesus be here? Right? Will Jesus be here? Where is Jesus? It says the crowd was just worked into a frenzy wanting to know where Jesus had come. The Pharisees and Caiaphas and all this said, if you see him, let us know. Right? The plot is already in motion. It's gaining momentum. Jesus is heading to a cross and he knows that. And here they are celebrating him and it says they gave him a dinner. Can I just tell you this? I just got to say, we don't have this in scripture. This is just my heart, my imagination. I'm just going to tell you, I think this was a celebration of all celebrations. You know why? A man that was dead is now reclined at the table. And it says they threw a dinner for him. Can I tell you the gesture that is about to come? I'm going to just speculate and say that Martha and Mary went all the way out. That everything they had, they said, we have the Lamb of God sitting with us. Can you imagine that? That if at your camp, at your table, wherever you gather today, if you had the opportunity to host Jesus, you would give the very best, right? You would give that in worship. And that's what happens here, that it says that Martha serves because that's what Martha does, right? I'm glad for Martha's, right? Well, it says that Mary is going to anoint, and we see that Lazarus is just like, man, I'm just going to sit in his presence. Right, I'm just going to hang here because you know why, guys? Let me tell you, I was dead and now I'm alive. If anyone could say that, it was Lazarus. Can you imagine the stories? Reclining at the table. I want to know. I got questions for you, Laz. What happened? What did you see? Did you see the light? Did you experience heaven? What happened? What did you hear when you heard Jesus? Can you imagine Lazarus sitting there with Jesus and say, guys, I can tell you. I can tell you the day I heard my name. I was dead. I couldn't do anything, but I heard my name. Lazarus, come forth. I couldn't help. I got up and I shouted and I came out of those burial cloths. I came out of the tomb. I walked up the steps and now I'm alive. Guys, can I tell you, he's still in that business today. Some of you, he is calling your name right now today. Come forth. To walk out of death and into life. That is the gospel. To leave your old self behind and to walk in a newness of life. He is calling names still. Come forth. So So he goes to this dinner that he's been thrown for him. The service is happening, and I want you to know, I believe what happens next is very purposeful. Mary, there's so many different accounts of her in Scripture, and yet so many things we don't know. One thing that we do know, in some accounts it says that she was a sinful woman. We can even, you know, kind of speculate and suggest that maybe that even means she was a prostitute at one time. So for those of you out here who say, well, you don't know what I've done, I've gone too far. She was a prostitute. In fact, one other account tells us that she was healed by 7 demons being cast out of her by Jesus commanding it to happen. A demon-possessed prostitute, and her story is being told 2,000 plus years later of the beauty and pure just perfection of her worship. I'm telling you this morning, I don't care what you've brought into this parking lot. Somebody needs to hear this. I didn't plan to say it just like this, but I want you to listen to me, even over there at the drinks. I want you to listen to this morning. Not listen to my voice, listen to the Holy Spirit. I don't know what some of you brought in this morning. I'm not talking about in your backpack. I'm not talking about in your bag. I don't know what you brought in with you spiritually this morning. There may be somebody here that has that same demonic just presence going on. It may be deep and dark and you don't understand what's going on. It may be the same prostitution. It may be the addiction. It may be the hate, the murder, the whatever. I'm telling you, that has no bearing on you being a son or daughter. It is all about Jesus, the good shepherd that laid down his life for you. Man, a prostitute, demon-possessed, set free. I want to take you back on a conversation because I want to tell you, I believe this is what Jesus is doing. Just a few chapters back, I want to read to you a conversation that Jesus has with Martha, Mary's sister. One of the 7 I am statements from John. We've talked about 5 so far. And in the 5th one, he says this, Jesus is saying to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I believe he's at this dinner and thinking, guys, you don't even know what's about to come. I'm going to leave this place, and in a few days from now, I'm going to willingly lay down my life, but I am the resurrection and life. Please remember those words. I am the resurrection and life. You think Lazarus' resurrection was something? Wait till you get a load of what's about to happen. I'm going to willingly lay down my life. I'm going to be placed in a tomb. I'm going to raise and walk with you for a short time, and then I'm going to ascend to the right hand of the Father, and I am going to be there interceding on your behalf. I am the resurrection and the life. Listen to what he says. Whoever believes in me, though he die, just like Lazarus, yet shall he live. But even better than being temporarily raised, can I tell you this? Lazarus died again, but he is alive today. Amen. Even though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. He's talking about this eternal sense. And then he asked this question to Martha, do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord. I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe this. This is what's going on in this conversation. I believe he's gathering intimate friends, intimate disciples together and having this moment of just celebrating with Lazarus and even saying, guys, greater things are yet to come. There's going to be a resurrection that you won't believe. There's going to be a cross. There's going to be this. Everything hinges on this. And at the fact of that and Mary being a prostitute that has been set free, delivered from sin and addiction, and being set free from demonic possession, takes this beautiful gift and pours it on Jesus' feet and dries it with her hair. Now, there's some figures thrown out, and we don't know all of the details with this, but I can tell you this, it was an expensive gift. I can't tell you if it was something that was passed down from the ages. I can't tell you if they had worked hard and put every bit towards this. I don't know where she got it from, but I can tell you this, that in today's standard, it could be anywhere up to $25,000. It was this expensive perfume. It cost a lot. And when Judas sees it, in fact, he says this, by the way, not caring anything in the world about the poor. He says, we could have sold this, man. We could have sold it for that many denarii, 300 denarii, and then we could have taken care of the poor. All he cared about was having that 300 in there so he could pull out what he wanted, right? He wasn't caring about the money, but we get the figure there, the idea that it cost her something. It was about the size of a bottle of Coke. And she takes this and she pours it out as this fragrant offering. Can you imagine? I want you to picture the scene this morning. I want this to come to life off the pages that Jesus is sitting there with his disciples, his close friends, with Lazarus, who was just in the grave, with Martha, who is serving about, with Mary, who is pouring this out. And it says, the fragrance of the perfume filled the house. It was a fragrant offering. And then when this happens, they say, why didn't you sell this to the poor? We could have done so much with this. Jesus said, leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have. By the way, some people look at this and say, man, Jesus didn't care nothing about the poor. Why didn't he give that to the poor? He's talking about, man, I am not going to be here much longer. She's doing a beautiful thing here. She is worshiping me for all that is about to take place, all that has taken place in her life. It is a celebration of the fact that he is the resurrection and the life. Man, can you imagine sitting there with Lazarus, just come out of the grave, seeing this beautiful thing that is being talked about for 2,000 plus years, this anointing of Jesus' feet, preparing for what's about to take place. I want to read just these last couple of verses in closing this morning, just to kind of set the stage of the cross happening and heading just at this fever pitch. The plot thickens even more. So when there's word of Jesus coming back into town and hanging out with Lazarus that has been dead, you can imagine it stirs up a crowd. It stirs up the stories. And it says this in verse 9. When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus. Can I be honest? If you heard somebody out here had died, and then the next week they said, by the way, he was at church at Southside, you're going to show up, right? That's better than spaghetti. In fact, I'm just going to go and tell you, I'm not going to name names, but we had it happen one week, right? Maybe not in the real sense of this, but we had been told somebody had died. Hadn't seen him for a while, and I came back 3 months later, and I pulled up in that old parking lot, and I saw him, and I ran to him, and I said, brother, it's so good to see you. And he looked at me like I was the weirdest thing in the world. He said, just been gone a little bit, and I'm thinking, I heard you was dead, like you looking good, you know, like I'm so glad. Can you imagine if that was real life, right? If it had really happened, we'd been to the funeral. We had mourned. We had grieved. What's up, Kellen? Looking sharp, by the way. Can you imagine how that would be? And so the crowd shows up and they says, we want to see this Lazarus. Is he really alive? And listen, it says, so the chief priests, Caiaphas and all the others, listen to what they plan to do. They already said, if we don't stop this Jesus, he's performing so many miracles, just teaching in such an unreal way that we can't teach. If we don't stop him, everybody's going to believe in this guy. And now listen to what they do. It says they made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. They could not deny the fact that a miracle had happened. Hey, I was there. I was at his funeral. I was there. I was grieving. I was a third cousin of Lazarus. I was hanging out, man, and Jesus comes up a couple days later and says, Lazarus, come forth. He came out of the ground, y'all. I had dinner with him the other night. Can you imagine this fever pitch of just energy and things that are going on and people talking about Jesus, saying, man, this guy that was dead is now alive and Jesus is having dinner with him, yo. I mean, it's crazy. And it says that they want to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. I was thinking about this passage today, and I just want to close with this. You may not have an offering of that size monetarily to give to Jesus. And by the way, I think you've been here long enough. This church doesn't care anything about you giving to us, right? You're a part of this. This is your body. We've never passed a plate out here. You know that. It's not about it's not about the money part of things. You may say, man, I don't have that. But can I tell you what would be just as beautiful as this story that we've read today? Whatever you do have, I'm telling you, you may think I'm lying. I'm not talking about money. Whatever you do have, if you were to, in your heart today, I think back to my brother Marcus. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but the day that we talked about your salvation and we baptized you out here, brother, man, it was so beautiful because you said, by this truck over here, in my heart, you didn't do it physically, but in my heart, I knelt down and I gave my heart to Jesus. That's what he wants, right? You may not have a penny to your name. Doesn't matter. You may not have a religious bone in your body. Can I go and say this? Good. Because all it does is cloud things. Give me people that have had an encounter with Jesus. You know, the people that have this book memorized would probably be put in the category with Pharisees. I don't care about your Bible trivia knowledge. I don't care if you can't tell me who a king was in 1 Kings. It doesn't matter. Can you tell me who the King of Kings is because you know him and talked with him this morning? That's what I want to know. I want you to come to a place where, like Mary, you could bend down on your hands and knees and humble yourself and don't care who's watching. You know, she didn't care about anybody in that room. She didn't care that there was a Judas speaking over her that said, how dare she? That's just an old whore. That's just an old demon-possessed whore. She didn't care nothing about that, man. It was an audience of one that she got down on her hands and knees. Can you imagine? It says that she was crying. I don't think it was just some little dribble that went on his feet. I believe she was weeping over his feet and said, you've given me everything. You've given me life and you've given it to me abundantly. I want to tell you this way. I believe that if you came this morning just for spaghetti and clothes, that's okay. God can work with that. But I'm telling you this, if you'd humble yourself to a place, I've had to do it. Man, I've done it myself. I'm doing it right now and telling you, he's given me everything. You just humble yourself and say, Jesus, I don't have much, but this is what I got. I'm here. I worship you. You are the resurrection and the life. It will not only change the here and now, but it'll change the hereafter. Relationship with him, that's all that matters. Not about religion, good works, not about your money, not about your standing in a church. Are you a son or daughter of the King of Kings? There's only one way. Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. You are the good shepherd that lays down your life willingly for the sheep. I don't know about you, but there's no other fold I want to belong to other than the good shepherd. Amen. You pray with me this morning. Father, I pray. It's why we do this. This is why we gather. We gather to celebrate. We gather to fellowship and to hang out and to have a meal and all of these things. But it is all rooted in the simple fact that we want every man, woman, boy, or girl that steps in this parking lot, that drives by, that hears about this, to know you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. That's all that matters to me. The rest is just a simple thing of Father's provision that you are speaking into that. You are inviting into relationship. If it's one that's yet to begin or one that's been going on for 70 years, you want it just to be closer and more intimate. And that's not about good works. It's not about keeping up with a to-do list. It's just simply when we encounter, like Mary, a love that is so good, a love that would look at a prostitute and say, you're forgiven. A love that would look at someone demon-possessed and say, come out, right, and heal. A love that is that good, we can't help but to fall on our knees and say, here's all I got. Here's all I got. I give it to you. For some of us right now, that is just simply that. Jesus, will you take my heart and life? Enter into relationship for the first time today. For some of us that have been walking in that relationship and maybe it's been strained for this or that we would just come back. I promise this, that if we come back, Jesus, you're just giving me this image of the good shepherd again. We think of that 99 sheep that are there and they're, you know, and the one that goes off and you go to and leave the 99 to get the one. It doesn't say you come back with the one just beating him and cussing and just mad at him for all the mess up. It says that you come back with him over your shoulder rejoicing. My lost sheep is found. It says heaven rejoices, oh, so much more over one sinner that repents. So, Father, wherever that lands today, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, today would be the day. If somebody knows you and is walking away, would you just gently go and find them and bring them back over your shoulder? Say, my lost sheep is found. My son that was dead is now alive. My son that was lost is now found. My daughter that was lost is now found. Jesus, that's your heart. If we believe anything else, will you just humble us today just to that understanding that you love us in spite of any and all things we've ever done, will do, or doing. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we need you. And we pray that over all the hearts that are here today. Start with me, Jesus. I need to know that. That my working, my striving, any of that stuff, it's useless. You've already done it. It is finished. Jesus, we love you and we need you. We pray it in your name. Amen. Guys, this morning, we'll start here in just a second. Miss Mitzi will call out names. If you need to speak to anybody about that, just, Lord, lay that on my heart about salvation. If you've never done that, man, speak to somebody before you leave this place, okay? I love you guys. Thank you so much.
You can make it through. Don't you give up.